Thank you. morning. Let's all stand. It's good to see some of you back. Brother Michael's not feeling well this morning. Talked with him. And you don't appreciate being well until you've been sick a little while. And good to have Sister Sarah back and Sister Patty. I missed you guys. And let's sing that song, Sanctuary. I trust that's our desire this morning. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a time, let's take our tithes and offerings. And if Sister Rebecca would be getting ready for her special. Two specials, I understand. Just one? Okay. Brother Ron, would you ask the blessing?
Father, we're pretty grateful and thankful once again, God, for coming to your presence this morning. Thank you for your presence in this room, Lord.
Yes.
Our hearts and minds, Father. Bless the word that comes forth this morning so that we penetrate all that we are and fill it with the fire of the Lord. We just offer these tithes and offer them back to you, Lord. We ask that your blessing be upon us as we go forward this week. And so we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Sister.
Sitting here in your holy place, I'm
want to see if you can fix this. Let's all stand and stretch our legs a little bit. Let's sing the presence of the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the sound of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. I see glory on each face. But the Lord is in this place. One more time. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. I can hear the sound of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. You may be seated. Let's sing, "We Have Come Into His House." We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Amen. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. At this time, let's take our prayer request. Let's remember Brother Brian this morning. He got in late last night, and that God would strengthen him today and help him in this service. And also, continue to remember Brother Vail, and that God would continue to strengthen him. It seems like there's just a lot of sickness going around the church. Let's just pray that they just nip that thing and it go. One of the great things that we have is not only is the double cure, not only do we have salvation, we also have healing. That was the same thing done on the cross, so we just have to claim it as our portion. Are there any other spoken requests we need to make known at this time? Remember Brother Michael, Brother Adam.
I'm finding out, I think Sarah has an allergy. She ate something yesterday and the whole thing went over again. So it's probably from some candy or something.
Yeah. Okay. Brother Michael and Sister Sarah. And kind of the thing that my wife was telling me, and it makes a lot of sense, I think Sister Christina said, is when you start feeling bad, not like me, I just keep going. And what happens, it kind of anchors down on you rather than just deal with it right then. So, anybody else? All unspoken requests? I'll ask Brother Nick if you would please lead us in prayer, please. Amen. Let's sing Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, I think it's number 20 in the whole book, Learning to Lean. Sing that chorus. And we'll turn it over to Brother Brian here in just a minute. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. One more time. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Let's sing I Love You, Lord.
Oh. Same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you come down to give us an understanding. Help us, Lord, to enter into that understanding, for we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Well, forgive me for my voice this morning, but it's just the devil. Actually, I felt pretty good last week until I got on the plane, and then all the way down, I started getting weaker and weaker, sicker and sicker, and the devil just really gave me a fit, and on my back most of the time while I was gone. So this morning we're going to pick up at paragraph 133 of the spoken word and just continue on with that thought that we laid out last week. And in Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to pick up at verse 21, Paul says, "Tell me that ye that desire to be under the law, do you hear the law?" And this is the problem, because you see, when the scripture speaks of hearing, it actually means to understand. And so he's saying, you that desire to be under the law, do you even understand it? And that's the problem that we have even in this message today. And he says, tell me that ye that hear the message, do you hear the voice of the messenger? Do you really understand what the message is? Do you really understand what it's all about? Now, if you want to have a good clue as to what it's not all about, just go to Arizona. I don't think there's a church down there that believes the doctrine of Christ. There may be some that maybe believe it, but they certainly don't preach it because they're afraid. There's a real fear. You go from church to church down there, there's a real fear among the people. You can't even mention Lee Vail's name down in Arizona without people getting, you know, just up in knots and everything else. And what's the fear all about? You know, they're afraid. And well, I tell you what, God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. So it's not from God. It's from the devil. So Paul says, tell me, you that hear the message, do you hear the voice of the messenger? Do you not understand the example the messenger left for us? Do you not understand the great personal sacrifice made so that we might live like he lived and walk as he walked and talk as he talked? Brother Branham wasn't afraid to talk to anybody. He talked to Catholic priests. He talked to, all kinds of, different religions. You see, but he had a revelation, and that's a problem. Most people don't. You know, they say they do. You know, they quote Matthew 16 that says, where Jesus says, Peter, you didn't get this. He said, who does men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, well, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And they can all quote that, but they fail to quote that the revelation was that he was the Son of God. You see, they've done away with the Son of God. They've completely done away with the Son of God. And they brought him to an open shame. Now, verse 22 says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, I'm getting back to Galatians 4, verse 24. Paul says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So there's a message. There is bondage in this message. And let me don't think because you came and you received God sent a prophet that you're not under bondage. When you can't even talk openly about the scripture and give people the scriptures with the message, they don't want to hear it. Not in this country. You go to Africa, that's the only place they seem to want it. You go to Africa, they want the word. They want to understand the word. But not in the religious organized systems that we have here in this country. He says, there's two covenants, and the one genders to bondage. Now, the Greek word doulia was translated as bondage. It speaks of slavery and obligation to man through servitude. In other words, that covenant which leads to death is laced with works, programs, and service. And, you know, as long as you got music and good times and everything else, it becomes a social gospel. That's all they want. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac were, are the children of promise. So we see that if we're the children of promise, and the children of promise are free, and thus they are free to do as they wish. But as Brother Branham said, I can do whatever I wish to do, because all I want to do is, or all I wish to do is to please him. I noticed if we are the children of promise, then we're children birthed by the word, because the word is the promise. You know, if I give you my word, what am I doing? I'm making a promise to you, right? Well, as I pointed out a few weeks ago, Martin Luther said in his preface to the book of Romans, God judges according to what is at the bottom of the heart. And for this reason, his law makes its demands on the innermost heart and cannot be satisfied with works, but rather punishes works that are done otherwise than from the bottom of the heart as hypocrisy and lies. The law is spiritual. For if the law were made for the body, it could be satisfied with works. But since it is spiritual, no one can satisfy it unless all that you do is done from the bottom of the heart. But such a person is given only by God's Spirit. There's such a heart is given only by God's Spirit, who makes a man equal to the law, so that he acquires a desire for the law in his heart, and henceforth does nothing out of fear. Now, when's the last time you've been totally free of fear? It should be sitting under this word. And brother, sister, if you still got fear, there's something wrong. You don't have that relationship with your father the way that Christ had it with his father. So, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. But such a heart is given only by God's Spirit, who makes a man equal to the law, so that he acquires a desire for the law in his heart, and henceforth does nothing out of fear and compulsion, but everything out of a willing heart. That law then is spiritual, which will be loved and fulfilled with such a spiritual heart. It requires such a heart, such a spirit. Where that spirit is not in the heart, there still remains, their sin remains, and displeasure with the law and enmity toward it, though the law is good and just and holy. That's what does that mean? He's saying, look, in other words, if you don't have that spirit of Christ in your heart, till you're really free in this message, then you're doing things out of fear and compulsion. Fear that you might get caught. Or compulsion that everybody's watching you. You've got to do it. When it's not in your heart to begin with. You see? Then what are you? You're nothing but a hypocrite playing the part. Sin in the scripture means not only the outward works of the body, but all the activities that move men to the outward works. Namely, the inmost heart with all his powers. Faith, on the other hand, is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times. Faith is not that human notion and dream that some hold for faith. Faith, however, is a divine work in us. It changes us and makes altogether different men in heart and spirit and mind and power, and brings with it the Holy Ghost. Now, getting back to Galatians 4, in verse 29, the Apostle Paul says, but as he that then that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. You see, the two covenants can't cohabitate. You know, we all would like to have peace. Jesus Christ was the Prince of Peace, and yet he did more battle with words than you and I do battle with words. He took a sword and said, he took the sword and said, I didn't come to bring peace. He's a Prince of Peace, for crying out loud. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Now, in order to understand how this comes about, this warfare, because Paul says, but as it was then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. You see, even though Jesus said, I came to bring the sword, he didn't use a sword. I used a word. But he said, he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. You see? But here's the problem. It's the he that is born after the flesh is the one who persecutes him that is born after the Spirit. And that's where you have to keep that in mind, because I've seen too many people claim to be, you know, well, we've got the truth, you know, we got the presence, we got the teacher, we got this and we got that, and then they got a warfare mentality. Now listen, the warfare mentality is on those that are born after the flesh. Your mentality is to be focused on the promise. We're birthed by promise. They're birthed by works. They work their way to it. Now, in order to understand how this warfare comes, we must first understand what causes those who are born after the flesh to war with those who are born by promise. And remember, to make a promise is to give you your word, to give your word. And so those born by promise are those who receive the promise, which is to receive God's word. Where did the first warfare take place? It was in heaven. Okay, where did it come down? It came down to earth. Why did Cain go to war with his brother and kill his brother? It was over words. It says that when God rejected Cain's offering, it says then it came to pass that as they were out in the field, they talked to one another, and then Cain rose up and slew his brother. Over words. Words. A misunderstanding of the sacrifice that was given. Because God accepted one, he didn't accept the other, and the other guy couldn't understand why God didn't accept it, and so that lack of understanding led to murder. In John 5:24, let's examine it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We hear this word hear come over and over and over again. Now, it should read like this. He that understands my word and believes on him that sent me. And who sent Jesus? God. God did. So it's he that understands my word and believes God that sent me has everlasting life. So there are two important things that this passage is telling us. Not only to believe, but you must understand what it is that you believe. Too many people quote Brother Branham wrong in other places, and they say, well, Brother Brown said you only have to believe. But that's not what he told us, especially here. He said you must understand, then believe. For if you do not understand, then you will not know what you believe. From his sermon, Seed Shall Not Be Heir with the Shuck, Brother Brown said it this way. Now, if you take St. John 5:24, that's what we just read you. Listen to this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Now, how would that be so much different from so many theologies? Now, I could walk out here and I could say to the drunkard, do you believe? Sure. A man with another man's wife, do you believe? Sure. Did you sit in the meeting last night to hear the word? Sure. You believe it? Sure. He's just saying that. But the original interpretation of this word, he that understandeth my word and will believe on him that sent me, he that understands. That is, that is to who it's made known to. You see, it's not made known to the people that don't understand. They can say they believe all day long, but if they don't understand what they're believing, they don't believe. Let me read that again. He's just saying that, but the original interpretation of this word, he that understands my word and will believe on him that sent me, he that understands, that is to who it's made known to. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him, and all that my Father has given me, they will come to me. My sheep, my doves, hear my voice, a stranger they will not follow. And what is the voice of God? Is the word of God. That's what any man's voice is, but his word. It's the word of God. They'll hear, they'll understand the word of God. Now, notice then, there's two things here. There's an understanding and then a believing. Now, how can you believe me if you don't understand what I'm saying? Brother Derek, would you come up here for just a minute?
I want you
supposed to say this in Polish, okay? Say it.
Wierzę w to, że jesteś wybrańcem Bożym.
Now, how many believe what he said? All right. Sister Helena. All right, what did he say? Okay, no.
Ja wierzę w to, że wy jesteście wybrańcami Bożymi.
Yes. Okay, now. Now, see, you didn't know if you could believe it or not because you didn't know if I was going to put you on and tell you something that was, you know, fictitious, whatever. That's like these people, you know, they speak in tongues, and how do you know they're not worshiping the devil? Brother Vail told us years ago, there's a brother Booth Clifford, and he could speak 7 different languages. And he walked into a Pentecostal church where he heard 3 people speaking, 3 different people spoke in languages in tongues that he understood. And he said, one of them was praising God and 2 of them were cursing God and everybody was saying amen. He that understandeth and believeth. Thank you, Brother Derek. Now, unless you understand, unless you have the mind of Christ, how are you going to understand if you don't have the mind of Christ? Because the Bible tells us, it says that the things of God are they're a mystery to men. It says unless you have the Spirit of Christ, unless you have the Spirit of God, you won't understand the things of God. You see? Now, that's the problem we have in the message. Look, you can be as nice as you want all day long, but if people are not born again, they won't have the mind of Christ. They'll never understand this message. It's cloaked in God's word, which is hidden from men. Now notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So you can believe all you want all day long, but unless you understand, you don't have everlasting life. It's he that understands, then believes. They shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. From seed is not heir with the shuck, Brother Ram said, there is no judgment to the royal, spiritual, predestinated seed of Abraham, for they are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice which is Christ the Word. And there is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8:1, if you want the scripture. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word, the word there is understand. Any drunkard, anything else can hear it and walk away. But he that heareth my word, understands my word, and believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Yes, sir. He that this great mystery of God has been made known understands how that God was in Christ, reconciling himself to the world. How that he and the Father were one. You see, so Brother Branham is bringing John 5:24 right down to the Godhead. He said, let me read it again here. He says, but he that heareth my word, understands my word, and believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death to life. Yes, sir. He that this great mystery of God has been made known to, that understands how that God was in Christ, reconciling himself to the world. How that he and the Father were one. How that the great mysteries of the fulfilling of God, taking and bringing himself, manifesting in the age of human beings, and in the strain of human beings, and in the company of human beings, excuse me, to make his word manifested in the days, in the eastern rising of the sun, and to do the same thing as the sun sets in the west, to make himself manifested in the bride church, the word made manifest, see, it will too. He that understands, this is to know, that's been revealed to him, and him that sent me has everlasting life, and will not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. So, that is why the doctrine of Christ is so important, and it seems that also that is why the devil fights so hard in his church to attack the elect who have this revelation. I get emails from many of my friends all across Africa who many of the times tell me, and I got one again over the weekend here, where the brother said he's getting ready to go to Malawi and to do the mission work that, you know, we've asked him to follow up on the meetings down there. And he said, as you know, we have great warfare going on over here. We're in the midst of warfare. Brother Dwight the other night had a, he said, I don't like to talk about this too much, but he said, I don't want to put it too much in the dreams and stuff, but he said, Brother Brian, he said, I had a dream of you the other night, and you were standing there with dressed in a military fatigues, and you were in a warfare, and there was a big war going all around, and he said, and you had on a helmet on your head, and you had a star on your helmet. And he said, I was wondering, why didn't you have five stars? And he said, then I got to realize that you're not all the fivefold ministry, you're just one of them. See, our five-star general is Jesus Christ, and he's a chief shepherd. He's also the great captain of our faith. Well, we're in a warfare, brother, sister, and you've got to get past this feeling that, you know, you're just you know, that everything's nicey-nicey. It's not nicey-nicey. You know, if you want to be Salvation Army, go ahead. You know, that's where Brother Bram said they got more love, you know, but they're so far off the word. You know, love is corrective. God is love. He's the Word. And that's why I said the doctrine of Christ is so important, because it seems like that's where the devil fights so hard in his church, in this message, to attack the elect who have this revelation. And, well, from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word, Brother Brown said, first, faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. Then the believer hears it, he recognizes it, and then he acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but but never, you see, hear means to understand it. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, nor he cannot understand the kingdom of God. You see, from Queen of Sheba, Brother Ram said, you know, God was able to keep that which he had performed, and we're supposed to be children of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. If we have the faith of Abraham, everything else but God's word is a lie. Look what God said. We look at the unseen. You look at what your mortal eyes don't see. You don't see with your eyes anyhow. You only see, you only look with your eyes, but you see with your heart. You look right at it, say, and you say, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. Your seeing is your understanding, so you understand with your heart. Excuse me. And from Mark of the Beast, he said, but if you hear the trumpet, see, hearing, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Now, not just listen with your ear, but if you hear, that means you understand it. You accept it. I hear you. I believe you. See, it's hearing. Stephen said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears. See, uncircumcised. They could hear it with their ears, but uncircumcised. They couldn't believe it. See, uncircumcised in the heart and ears to understand it. Oh, it's all a mystery to me, like Cain. Take it or leave it. I joined the church. That's as good as I can do. All right, Cain, you'll mark with the beast and go right on off into the denomination. But you can come to Christ and be sealed with the Holy Ghost. You can take your choice. Now watch. You hear the gospel trump. What is the gospel? The good news. The Holy Ghost is here. How do you know it's here? Watch it work. See what it does. It's the good news. But what's he talking about here? He's talking about, you know, here you got a bunch of people who say, well, you know what, you don't have to fuss about it. I mean, you don't have to believe it. I mean, you don't have to understand it, just believe it. And he said, but they're uncircumcised in their heart and their ears because they don't understand what it's all about. You know, and they say, well, you know, it's just, it's church. Let's just have church. Let's have music. Let's have a good time. Let's worship. So their church is made up with a lot of worship. But you know what? So is the devil's camp. Isn't that exactly what Cain does? He worships. You see, it's got to be in truth. Otherwise, it's in vain. From a sermon, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God, Brother Bram said, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Then the believer hears it. He recognizes it and acts on it. The carnal will hear it, the sound of it, but never hear means understand it. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, nor can he understand the kingdom of God. So look at the warfare then that Jesus had with the religious zealots of his day. You know, there were three kind of believers. We all know that. There's believers, make believers, and unbelievers. The unbelievers out there, they're not in this message. The message is full of believers and make believers. Brother Branson, when the unbeliever hears it, he walks away. He says there's nothing to it. But the make-believer is one that sits around looking for fault. That's what Brother Branham said. Well, did you know there's three kind of make believers? Did you know that? And really, what is a make believer? Really, he's an unbeliever anyway, when it comes down to it. But he makes believe the part. See, he's a hypocrite. He makes believe that he's believing it, but he doesn't. So people say, well, we believe Brother Branham's our prophet, but they won't teach what he said. Like the man that called Brother Vail, said, Brother Vail, said, I want to discuss with you, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that, that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And Brother Vail said, well, I don't argue with people. Called my friend Brian, he gave him my telephone number and hung up. I said, well, thanks a lot, Brother Vail, as if I want to argue with somebody. And so the guy calls me at my house, and I'm talking to him, and he says, look, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. I said, brother, who vindicated you? Where'd you get your vindication from? How dare you say a vindicated prophet's wrong? Well, excuse me. Well, what I mean is that, there's no scripture for it. I said, there is scripture for it. Well, I can't find it in the scripture. I said, that doesn't mean it's not there. I said, if I can show it to you, would you believe it? Oh, yeah, if you can show me the Bible, I'll believe it. I said, well, Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I said, that means totally abandoned. He said, I still don't believe it. I said, well, of course not. You're a make-believer, an unbeliever. Well, he said, that's not very nice. I said, look, if you say you don't believe it, that makes you an unbeliever. I mean, let's not cut words here. Change the words just for yourself. How can you say a prophet's wrong and claim him to be your prophet? That man's not even born again. In fact, anyone that would deny that, to me, has to be pure idiot or serpent seed. And when it comes right down to it, there's the two children. And the one makes warfare on the other. And by calling Brother Branham a liar, he's making warfare. And like God said to Samuel, he said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And that's what it comes down to, they're rejecting God's word. So look at the warfare that Jesus had with the religious zealots of his day. And as I mentioned, there's three kind of believers, but there's also three kind of make-believers as well. Notice in his day there were the Pharisees, who were those who had their act all together, it seemed. You know, they on the outwardly, their outward appearance, everything was just perfect, everything was just right, like Brother Branham said, Jesus said, on the outside, whited walls, but on the inside, just full of dead men's bones. And they believed in the supernatural, but they were very legalistic in their approach to the Word of God. And they had a hateful spirit about them, always looking down at those who did not live up to their standards that they imposed on everybody else. That's the Pharisee. Hateful spirit. Believed in a resurrection. Believed in spiritual things, but you know what? When the very supernatural one himself was in their midst, performing the supernatural, they couldn't take it. Oh, it was okay if it came to their camp, as Brother Branham said, but you know what? He didn't go to their church, so they didn't believe the things that he did. Then there was a worldly bunch called the Herodians. They were a group that lived just like the world, and yet they believed in the resurrection and the supernatural. How many of them follow this message today? It blows my mind to see the comparisons. And thirdly, we have the Sadducees, those legalistic law-abiders, who were so starchy that they didn't even believe in the supernatural. Oh, we have that word. They say, well, we got the word. We got Moses. Who are you? We got the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. And when the word was right in their midst, manifesting himself through the body of a man, they didn't even recognize it. They were so closed off to anybody that didn't go to their church that they couldn't believe that God was working in somebody. From a deceived church by the world, Brother Branham said, but as Israel was bound by their kings, that they could not follow the real king and the real king when he came. They didn't recognize him. So is it today, O Lord. The King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't know it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized, so tight, that they do not understand it because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's done this to the people. May the Samson of God, may the true in heart, those who are longing and crying and pleading and holding on, may they stay with it, Lord, until this new crop grows out, until there comes forth a joy in Zion, and there comes forth a group that cannot recognize, or that can recognize and understand, that can see the Messiah and the hidden power that's hid from the world, that they will not understand now. Grant, Lord, that they'll see this, where we ask it in Jesus' name. So he said, they're so organized, so tight. You know, if you don't go to our church, you're not in the rapture. Listen, that spirit permeates in a lot of places. I don't think that we don't have that right in the message, because we do. So it is their organizational focus that blinds them to the reality of the living God in the midst of the people. But God gave us a true fivefold ministry to break down the word of God and bring forth an understanding to the minds of God's elect. Let's turn, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. And notice he says, and he's talking about God here. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That means for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means for the building up of the body of Christ, not the tearing down as so many do, but building them up in the word so that they can stand in this greatest battle that's ever been fought. And for how long is that fivefold ministry to do this? Verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith. Not until we all become unified. That's not what he's saying here. But until we all come into the unity of the faith. And there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as he said in verse 8. So the very same Paul, who said there is only one faith, now says until we come into the unity of that one faith. And that's the revelation of Jesus Christ, because faith is a revelation. And not only that, that we come into the unity of that faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ, but notice also until we come into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that's a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, listen, if you've got a fivefold ministry that's not teaching the Son of God, they're not a true fivefold ministry. And how can you come into the unity of the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you have no understanding of the difference between God and His Son? The Son of God. You see, they're preaching a message that is void of the Son of God. They don't believe God had a Son. They believe He was His own Son. In other words, this fivefold ministry is to take us right up to the place of being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, as Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, getting back to Ephesians 4. And remember, what is justification? It's by faith, right? By revelation. You're justified by revelation. Well, if you don't have a revelation, are you justified? No. Then can you be glorified? No. What is glorified? It's endoxazo. It means the very thoughts of God, the very opinion, the very values, the very judgment of God manifested in your flesh. How's it going to come? It comes through revelation. It doesn't come by works. You got the two covenants. Mount Sinai genders the bondage. That's not being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. They think, well, because I can do the same thing. Oh, why don't you just put nail-scarred hands? Why don't you just put blood all over your face? Walk around in a robe and get a beard. You know, that's the way they did in the 70s. You know, the hippies and said, well, we want to be like Jesus. We got love. We got Jesus' power. Let's all wear long hair and a beard. Oh, hi, Matthew. Hi, Mark. Hi, Luke. Hi, John. You know? Hey, that's what they all did. You know, they wore sandals in the hippie days and little flower power. That's when the Jesus movement came in. Remember in the 70s, all across the nation, the Jesus movement kind of swept up everywhere. Yeah, they said, yeah, we want to be like Him. Yeah, but they didn't want His word. You see? So in getting back to verse 4, let's pick up at verse chapter 4, let's pick up verse 13 again. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. And what is the purpose of God in all this? Paul tells us, when it continues in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Cunning craftiness. The sleight of men. Now why is it that we no longer are tossed about by every wind of doctrine? Because when you know the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're totally focused on Him. Nothing else matters. Your focus is set. And you're on your way to the image and stature of Christ. Anything else matters very, very little. There is but one focus, and that is to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. So Josh, join the group. Now, why is that we no longer are tossed about by every wind of doctrine? Because when you know the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. As I said, your focus is set. You're on your way to the image and stature of Christ. You're on your road to the path toward adoption. But speaking the truth in love, he says, not with an attitude, not with a chip on your shoulder, not like some of the brethren that get on the internet and they get in these chat rooms and they devour people. No, speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Notice the ignorance, the lack of understanding. What does it do? It darkens them. It takes the life of God right from them. Now notice that there are three things he's speaking of here. The separating of the soul from life. And eventually separating down and down and down until there's nothing left of it. This is the alienation from life which goes into death. Notice Paul tells us the blindness is ignorance. And this ignorance is darkness that shuts off the life of God to them, and thus they perish. Now listen, there's many a person who came up along with the prophet. God sent a prophet. And you know, for a period of time, they were right in the move of what God was doing. But when God began to open our eyes to the parousia, they drifted off. The oil ran out. Then it was parousia. He's here. What a great revelation. But when God began to divide His word further and to show us there's a difference between Father and Son, what do? They left the mark. They lacked the understanding to move on. And what happened? Their lives become darkened. And they become alienated from the life of God. Well then, what about? God sent us a prophet. Yeah, that's right. God is here. Hey, that's right. Hey, God had a Son. That's right. And what happened? When they failed to recognize and to move into, Brother Branham said, hearing, recognizing, and then sitting on your duff, play paintball, play games, focus on other things. It's not what he said. He said, hearing, recognizing, then acting upon the word of God. If Noah had not built the ark, he would have been lost just like the rest of the world. Now, come on. There is a life that's demanded by God. And you know, you're not going to produce it in your flesh, but if you just die to yourself, God will produce it for you in your flesh. As I've said so many times, Christ died for you that you might live. Now He wants you to die to yourself so that He can live again in you. I like that. In 2 Peter 1:9, we find those who are lacking an understanding of the word are considered blind to it. Peter says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And again, we hear Jesus Himself tell us in John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. In John 8:12, Jesus said, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Now, listen, if you walk in the light as he is walking in the light, but you stop walking, the light moves on. Now what? You're in darkness. You're in darkness. The foolish virgin did have oil in their lamp at one time, and it ran out. She had light upon the word at one time. Now listen. Don't think because I've got Lee Vail as my teacher, you're going to go in. Don't think because I got Brother Branham as my prophet, you're going to go in. You've got to see the same thing they saw. And if you don't, continue on as God, because Brother Branham quoted us in the... false anointed ones at the end time. He said, he that does not move on as the word comes to pass, they're dead, they're gone. It's a continuing shaking off until the very last moment. And then we'll see who makes it. From Ephesians 4:17, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Romans 11:10, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their neck always. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination and their foolish hearts became darkened. And remember, the heart represents understanding, so we see their understanding became darkened. So we see then that there results a spiritual warfare because of a darkening. Cain did not understand why his sacrifice. God told him it was wrong. Go talk to your brother. His is right. He went and talked to his brother. He couldn't understand. I mean, Abel's sacrifice was ugly. He was bleeding, dying, bloody. His was beautiful and gorgeous and, you know, good things to eat and all that stuff. But it was wrong. It was untimely. Oh, he had a resurrection. Yeah, he had a resurrection rapture offering. But see, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You're not going to go in the rapture without the shedding of blood, without the remission of your sin. Not in that condition, see? As Brother Bradford said, if in that condition, if they would have eaten from the tree of life after that, they would have stayed in that condition eternally. To be eternally in a fallen condition. See? So Galatians 4:27, for it is written, Rejoice, thou that barren, that bearest not, and breaketh forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac are the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now if you don't believe that, then you're not being persecuted. Well, then maybe you're not born after the promise. Because if there's no persecution coming from the false brethren among us in this message, those born after the flesh, then either you're not testifying or you're hiding it so nobody does know. And Jesus said, Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. In other words, they couldn't understand what he was saying. In closing, I'd like to examine this warfare with religious versus those who are religious versus the Son of God and see how Jesus himself handled it. So in turn, let's, if we would, open our Bibles to John chapter 8. And we'll begin, excuse me, we'll begin verse 17. It is also written in the testimony of your law, or it is also written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and, that's another, and the Father which sent me also bears witness of me. Now, there's another place where he says, and the Father is that other who bears witness of me. Then said he unto them, then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answering, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known also my Father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you seek to kill me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. And he saith unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I have said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things which please him. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Or as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered, they didn't understand, they were in bondage to their system. Jesus answering them said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of disbelief? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou art a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I have known him. And if I should say that I know him not, I would be a liar just like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not even 50 years old, and yet hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Notice, totally, totally religious. Claiming to the word of another day, Moses. And yet when Moses, who spoke of him, and yet they were so blind by their tradition, by their organization, by their little church. You know, nobody's going to make the rapture except for anybody that goes to this church. We've got the rapture. And that's the attitude. Just as lost as the Pharisees, as the Sadducees, as the Herodians. They couldn't see the word as it was coming to pass. And so they died in their sins. Don't be caught short-handed, brother, sister. You say, well, you know, we believe the Godhead. Yeah? Seemed to me that almost every demon that Jesus cast out said, we know that you're the Son of God. Have mercy on us. Huh? Wasn't it the witch doctors and the palm readers that could see the light over Brother Branham when the average person could not? Just because you think that you got it right, be careful lest you fall. As Paul said, I run good, you run well, but who did cut in on you? Stay humble. Stay seeking. Because Paul talked about the Bereans, how they had a great spirit within them because they were always searching the word to see if these things be of God. Don't get so caught up into any man that you say, well, I got it. Like Brother Vail said, you're following me, you're lost. You follow a man, you are lost. Get your eyes on Christ, and he is the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you are still unfolding your word and that you are still giving us revelation of it. Help us, Father, to stay humble, to ever have our focus upon thee and not upon each other. Help us to, as Brother Vail said, get our eyes off the vessel and get our eyes on the God who is using the vessel. For we ask these things. And Father, may we be in that condition to see you, Father, always in all things, and have so much of you in us that all our thoughts are of God. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him again.